It's a great academic university to come to, but the fact that you've got so many outdoor activities right on your doorstep, you know, being outdoors is good for the soul. You know, that breath of fresh air, it just makes you think in a different, clear way.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch ermutigen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es im Rahmen eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Bachelor- oder Masterstudiums im Ausland.
In der heutigen Folge dreht sich alles um das Studieren in Großbritannien, genauer gesagt in Wales. Wir hatten nämlich Sally Fairburn von der University of South Wales zu Gast, die uns mehr über die Masterprogramme an ihrer Hochschule und natürlich über die Standorte der Universität in Cardiff und Umgebung erzählt hat.
Genau. Und seit dieser Folge weiß ich dann auch endlich, wie man den Namen des einen Standorts der Uni richtig ausspricht. Der liegt nämlich in dem kleinen Städtchen Pontypridd, was sich zwar am Ende mit Doppel-D schreibt, aber mit TH ausspricht.
Stimmt, das war mir vorher auch nicht klar. Eigentlich wusste ich insgesamt vorher nicht wirklich viel über Wales. Außer natürlich, dass es zu Großbritannien gehört, landschaftlich sehr schön sein soll und dass Gareth Bale daherkommt.
Ja, so ungefähr war es bei mir auch. Wobei wir seit der Aufnahme ja wissen, dass Fußball in Wales zwar populär ist, sich aber eigentlich alles um Rugby dreht.
Genau, das wusste ich vorher auch nicht. Wenn ihr da draußen auch das Gefühl habt, bisher zu wenig über Wales als Studienland zu wissen, dann solltet ihr jetzt unbedingt dranbleiben, denn die Folge lohnt sich auf jeden Fall.
Los geht's! Viel Spaß beim Zuhören!
Hi Sally, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really great to have you. So yeah, let's jump right in and talk a little bit about the destination Wales in the beginning, because it's quite unique. Because when students come to us and ask about study options in the UK, they typically think about England or maybe Scotland, but yeah, perhaps Northern Ireland and Wales are a bit overlooked. Why do you think that is?
It's a tricky one because having lived here since 2004, I can't see why anyone would overlook it. It's such a beautiful country. But I, looking from the outside in as an international perspective, I think given that Wales has its own national language as well, that might be something that puts people off considering Wales. They might think, I need to learn Welsh, but actually it's bilingual. Everybody speaks English and some people also speak Welsh, but we don't expect our international students to speak Welsh, although they will pick up a few words. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cardiff is the capital city of Wales. It's a beautiful, vibrant city with lots of sport happening, lots of cultural activities and music scenes. But when it comes to England, I guess London has more exposure. London perhaps is in more films. So if you've got international students watching British TV, they will learn and hear more about London than perhaps they would anything about Wales. But yeah, no, I think it's definitely not one to be overlooked, but it definitely is.
Right.
You mentioned that you moved to Wales and you've been in Wales since 2004. Where are you from originally then? Because I thought you were from Wales. I didn't know that you weren't. So where are you from?
So I'm from Somerset, which is just south of Bristol. We are known for speaking like a farmer and drinking cider. So I think with my accent, it's quite neutral. I think that comes with the job and speaking to so many students from different nationalities and learning to kind of slow down the way I speak and speak very clearly. But when I go back home, sometimes I just have to tune my ear in a little bit more to my family, especially because they do speak with a strong accent in Somerset and very fast as well.
I haven't spoken to any farmers from England, I think, so I wouldn't know.
Neither have I. Yeah.
It's quite difficult sometimes. It's very oo-ar and.
But it's not too far then, because I think Bristol is about an hour from Cardiff. So
it's literally just over the Prince of Wales Bridge, which is a stunning, stunning bridge. And yeah, it's an hour to Bristol. And for me to get home, it's about an hour, 40 minutes. So really easy to get around.
Great. Yeah, that means you have a pretty good perspective on, let's say, both sides, being from England and having lived in Wales for a long time. You can probably draw connections or differences. So what would you say, what's unique about Wales as a study destination compared to, let's say, the rest of the UK?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you know the history between England and Wales, but there's a lot of kind of banter about how we hate each other, especially when it, you know, it's just joking, but when it comes to rugby as well, and football. But I can hand on my heart say that being English and moving to Wales, the Welsh people are notoriously friendly, welcoming. It's the kind of place where if you were in Cardiff city centre and you looked a little bit lost or a little bit worried, you weren't sure where you were going, somebody would come up to you and go, "Are you okay? Do you need any help?" It's that kind of place. And it's amazing how many of my international students relay that back to me once they've been studying here for a number of weeks. So the Welsh people are so friendly. And that's part of it. It's, yes, as an international student, you're going to mix with other cultures and nationalities, but also it's a bonus that you're mixing with the local community as well. You may live next door to an elderly couple or a young family, and it is part of that experience of mixing with the Welsh community as well.
You mentioned right in the beginning that Wales is officially bilingual, with English and Welsh being its two official languages. Do people still speak a lot of Welsh in their everyday lives?
You do hear it, yeah. Especially there's one part of Cardiff that's very media-centric, and so they have a lot of Welsh speakers there. My husband is from West Wales, and they notoriously speak more Welsh in the West. So if he was on the phone to his parents, he would be speaking Welsh to them. When I go, everybody speaks English. So it's amazing actually how many words you do pick up, or you can kind of get the gist of the conversation that they're having without knowing Welsh, because there are quite some similar words, but then some of the words are so difficult, and you feel like you're kind of spitting a lot while you're trying to say them, because it's not only a different language, but they actually have a different alphabet as well. Mm-hmm. So there, a double L is a letter, and it's pronounced kh. I'm not very good at that, but yeah, they have different, in the majority are the same, but there's a couple of different letters that they have as well.
Right. Do you have any examples of kind of, teach us some Welsh if you can.
See if you can guess what these words might be. So
borrowed.
But my pronunciation isn't the best, but
borrowed. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. No way. You got that? You got that?
Nosta.
Good night.
Good night. You got it.
See.
You better.
We'll do two more. Yakidar.
Good afternoon.
Now you've gotten the hang of it, right?
We'll do this to you. Yakidar.
Oh, that's cheers.
Cheers. Yeah.
Perfect.
And then finally, this is quite a funny one, because they've kind of had to make up a word in the modern language, given that it's such an old language, but pop-ti-ping.
Mobile phone?
It's an appliance.
It is an appliance. And then I'd say refrigerator.
So pop-ti is an oven, and ovens, when they go ping, is a microwave.
So see, I was thinking it was a phone because the phone would ping when a message comes in. So
that makes sense. No.
So you know some Welsh now.
All right, great. Do you offer any Welsh courses for students? Like if they want to, I mean, you said that they will pick up a little bit kind of here and there automatically, but do you offer any kind of introductory Welsh courses for students who want to
That's a really good question, actually. I know that we do them sometimes for staff at beginners, intermediate levels as well. I don't know if they're open to students. I can't see why they wouldn't. It would be a good experience for them. But yeah, it's definitely worth investigating further. There are classes. I just guess we just need to find out if they're for students as well.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about Cardiff, maybe, because you already mentioned it's a very friendly place. And I think either you or Elias also mentioned it's the capital city of Wales. So I understand it's a fairly big city, or it's probably the biggest city in Wales. How would you describe Cardiff to our audience that might not have kind of heard of the city before, or at least not know anything about the city?
I wouldn't say, you know, it's the biggest city in Wales, but when you compare it to London, it's not on scale to London at all. We don't have an underground tube system, for example. I believe there are around 300,000 people living in Cardiff. There's two train stations, and to give you kind of some perspective of how big the city is, it would take you about 10-15 minutes to walk from one train station to the other, so from one side of town, the city, to the other. It's a city that has lots of history, lots of culture. So if you're into your museums, the museums are free for you to go into. There are cinemas and there's beautiful theatres. Actually, there's three different theatres in the city, and one of them is so old and traditional. And especially if you come at Christmas time and you see some Christmas shows, it's such a beautiful setting. But if you're into your sport as well, so very much into cricket, we've got Sophia Gardens where we host lots of cricket matches, both with local teams but also international teams as well. Cardiff City used to have a football team in the Premiership. They didn't last very long. And there's a little bit of a joking, I guess, against Cardiff and Swansea. So one kind of went up to the Premiership, the other one came down, and it was good for Wales because it put us on the map, I guess. And, you know, everybody knows football and watches the Premiership. So it was good in that respect, but they haven't managed to stay in the Premiership, unfortunately. But yeah, and rugby. I mean, rugby is our thing. So we have just had Six Nations international rugby matches, and it's great for our students to enjoy that, not only to come and possibly go to a match, but if you can't get a ticket to a match, to go and watch it in a bar in the city. Or some of the students will work part-time in hospitality at the stadium. So it's a really great way to get involved as well. And the music scenes as well. I mean, obviously due to COVID, not too much has been happening, but we've had the likes of Coldplay and Pink here in the recent times just before COVID happened. So normally all the big shows that are happening in London, they will come to Cardiff because it is one of the major cities of the UK. So yeah, there's lots going on. It really isn't about students having their head in the books 24 hours a day. There's beautiful beaches as well close by. So you can jump on the train and within 40 minutes you can be on the Gower Peninsula, which is absolutely stunning. The university offers surfing lessons or paddle boarding, so you can book that and the university would do a trip down there. Mountains as well, really great outdoor activities. You've got the Brecon Beacons right on your doorstep, and it's wonderful to see so many of our international students taking that hike up to the top of Penavan, which is the highest point in southern Britain. Mm-hmm. in South Wales. So it's great just to see them making the efforts to go and explore different sceneries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that, of course, it's much smaller than London. It's more of a regional center. So within Wales, it's sort of really the go-to place for people who want to experience culture and festivals and sports and things like that. But what other British or European city could you perhaps compare Cardiff to?
What would you say?
Or is there just no city like Cardiff?
Size-wise, Edinburgh, I'm not 100% on that, but I mean, Edinburgh, again, offers lots of culture and history. It's close to the coastline. Mm-hmm. But the Welsh people are completely different to Scottish people. So in that respect, it is very unique.
Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about Edinburgh as well, in terms of what you described of like the history and and the mix of kind of cultures and culture and sports and all these kinds of things. So,
there are very, very much similarities between the two. And actually, you know, it's just an hour's flight from Bristol up to Edinburgh. So it's great for our students to get that opportunity to experience different cities within the UK as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was just thinking, now that you've mentioned, there's a lot of things to do for, especially for students, because students typically aren't to, you know, the music scene or sports and stuff like that, traveling. Would you describe Cardiff sort of like a student city?
Yeah, it is a city that is very geared up to hosting international students because there are two other universities in Cardiff as well. So the students have the benefit of not only integrating with their classmates at the University of South Wales, but many of them, because we have three campuses, just two of them just outside Cardiff and one of them being in Cardiff, some of the students will actually choose to live in Cardiff and commute that 20 minutes to the campus where they might be studying because they want that city lifestyle. And if they do that, they are likely actually maybe to be living with other students from a different university. So the fact that there are three universities in the city is a benefit. It means that, you know, there's lots of student discounts available. There's always activities happening that would be of interest to international students. So, yeah, it is very geared for international students.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything you would recommend to international students? Like, is there something that students definitely must do in Cardiff? Some highlights that they can't miss out on?
Yeah, I mean, we have a whitewater rafting centre that's always really popular. But to go and see a live rugby match, I think that would be one of the highlights. And then if you wanted something a little bit outside of Cardiff, especially given I'm from Somerset and festivals are a big thing, but Glastonbury Festival as well. So I've been once, but it's literally like 10 miles from my hometown. And if students get that opportunity to go to Glastonbury Festival, it's a worldwide known event.
Yeah. I've never been, but I would definitely love to go. Yeah, it sounds
me too. I've seen it on television. I've seen kind of recordings of it. And I think it's also where the term glamping was coined, kind of. It's like where the rich and famous would of course want to do camping, but they wouldn't want to be in a simple tent, but they'd have to have this kind of luxury tent, and it might be catering more to people my age as well. It's like being down there on a thin mattress with my sleeping bag, having like an actual bed,
high chance of rain as well. So if you can get that glamping pod, all the best.
But like Woodstock.
But in Wales there are other festivals as well. So there's the Green Man Festival not far away, that's very geared towards families as well. So there's lots of different ones for students to enjoy. But yeah, mm-hmm. Glastonbury, I would say, is probably up there on the to-do list as well.
Mm-hmm. That's really funny, because the last episode that we did before this one was with the College of the Desert in California, and they are in Coachella Valley. So we talk quite a bit about Coachella festivals.
Yeah, right.
We should include a question about festivals in each of our episodes.
Local festival.
Awesome.
And perhaps just out of curiosity, because now we've mentioned a couple times the vicinity of Cardiff to London or to England. How long does it take to travel from Cardiff to London?
It's around 2.5 hours by train. So very easy. Just one train, several stops to get to London, Paddington. Birmingham is probably about 2.5 hours, 3 hours as well. But yeah, I mean, it's great to have that short distance to London, because students do enjoy going to London, being a tourist there, but to actually live there is so expensive. So the fact that it's only 2.5 hours away means they could leave on the first train in the morning and they could be back on the same day in the evening. So they're not actually having to spend on hotels, and we'll go up for the weekend, or actually some of them have many friends that live there or study there to spend some time up there as well. But the joy is that you're not having that high expense of living in London. Mm-hmm. It's a lot cheaper to live in South Wales.
Yeah.
And you have the train system, which is so good in the UK, that you can basically get around very easily. And I think there's also a lot of student discounts within the train system. So that's what a lot of students have told us, is that they haven't been spending much on getting around.
No, you can get the Young Person's Rail card, which gives you a discount. They are good trains. I'm not sure they're quite as efficient as the German trains. I know you are very known for your efficiency. And when I've been to Germany, you know, if it says it's going to be there at 10:26, it's going to be there at 10:26.
I'm not sure I second that. We are notorious about complaining about our train system.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think, it is good that you have the train stations within 5 minutes walk of all three of our campuses. And also being in Cardiff, you've got the benefit of having the bikes that you can hire on the streets as well. Or you can just buy a bike yourself, but there's lots of ways to get around, and it's not so big that you need a car. It's quite expensive, as I guess it is in Germany, but quite expensive to have and run a car here in the UK when you take into consideration tax and insurance and MOT and all that malarkey. So yeah, just take advantage of the public transport and the buses as well.
Sounds good. Yeah, so I think let's transition to the university itself and talk a little bit about that. You have mentioned a couple of times now that the University of South Wales has three different campuses. They're in and around Cardiff, I believe. Can you tell us a little bit more about each of them and, yeah, perhaps how they differ from each other?
Yeah, they are very different to each other, all three of them. I'm on the Pontypridd campus, and the town is Pontypridd. It's spelt Pontypridd, but in Welsh, a double D is a TH. So here is where it is very green, it's very mountainous and beautiful. It's probably one of the campuses where we teach more subject areas than any other campus. So here we have engineering, English, psychology, computing, chiropractic studies, sports, the sciences, and you have everything you need on this campus. You've got halls of residence, you've got a gym and a sports center, although you're not necessarily going to need to join the gym to get fit, because like I said, we are quite on a hill, but you don't need to have a car or anything to get around the campus. If you were at the bottom of the campus and you wanted to get to the top where your accommodation is, it's going to take you no more than 10 minutes walk. But you have restaurants and coffee shops here, Starbucks, 24-hour library, which is beautiful on the top floor because it looks out over the beautiful green mountains. So really kind of idyllic for studying. And then there's a train station just 5 minutes away. And then 25 minutes later, you're in Cardiff City. And that takes us onto that campus. So it is very different to the Pontypridd campus. It's a city-based campus, very modern building. It's called the Atrium. It's got a lot of glass, beautiful spiral staircase. But it's where we teach all of our creative industries. So the likes of media, photography, music, drama, fashion, all the courses that perhaps might need a portfolio when students are looking to make an application. And again, you have everything you need there. You've got libraries, you've got restaurants and coffee shops and student advice zones. The accommodation in Cardiff isn't owned by the university. There are purpose-built accommodation blocks for students, or they can look to have a private house where they perhaps rent a room along with other students in that house. And then literally 3 minutes walk into the city and you're right in the heart of the shopping malls with John Lewis and Jo Malone and all the restaurants and the clubs and the pubs and everything that you would expect in the city centre. And then again, about 20, 25 minutes from Cardiff, you've got another city called Newport. And this is, again, another really modern looking building right on the river. So it looks, again, very beautiful. But this is where we teach a lot of our education courses, special education needs. We also teach our flagship program, the MBA Global Award. So it's a 20-month program with an integrated 8-month placement with the MBA, but also where we teach hotel and hospitality management. And we're one, I think we are actually the only university in the UK to have collaboration with an international 5-star hotel, and that's the Celtic Manor in Newport, where our students get to do their work experience. They quite often get part-time jobs there. But the Celtic Manor famously held the Ryder Cup in 2010, the G8 Summit a few years ago. So it is a very international hotel. But yeah, we have three beautiful campuses.
Yeah, that sounds great. And yeah, as you've just mentioned, each campus has their designated subject areas. I feel like there's a wide array of different subjects and programs. How would you describe the USW's approach to teaching and learning? Would you say is it rather theory-based or maybe more applied and practically focused?
We try and do very much hands-on, kind of get as much industry experience as possible for our students, because we know by enabling them to make contacts with industry, update their CV with relevant work experience, and that's going to help them in the long run to get their dream job once they graduate. The more experience they can get, the more they can put on their CV. And we're very good at that as a university. Many of our tutors or award leaders will actually come from industry themselves. So with that, they have the benefit of bringing their contacts with them. But we also work very closely with accrediting bodies. So you've got CIPD, for example, for HRM, just one of them. And you've also got the careers service that will help our students to find placements or internships, as well as Student Circus. So that's another organization that we work with to help our students find part-time jobs and placements as well. So we really do focus on getting those placements and getting those internships, because that's what we believe will enhance the students' experience and make them a better all-rounder and kind of set them out from the rest of the crowd when they go for that job interview.
You mentioned that the Global MBA is one of your flagship programs. In which other subject areas is the University of South Wales particularly strong? What would you say are some maybe other flagship programs, especially at master's level, let's say?
At master's, so we have an integrated master's program. So it would be for students from kind of high school, A-level equivalent. But it's a four-year program where they graduate with a master's degree, and chiropractic is the kind of anatomy of the body, very similar, I'd say, to physiotherapy, but also very different as well. It is a very popular course choice from our European students, as well as students from the UK, Malaysia, and Canada. So that's one that we offer. We're very well known for it. We've been offering it for more than 20 years now. So we have great experience with that.
We actually have a student in that program right now, I think, in the second or third year.
Yeah. You do, yeah. So the students on the chiropractic awards, they are inundated with job offers before they even graduate, because I think there's more and more people realizing that, you know, you have to look after your body, you have to look after your health. And I go and see a chiropractor every month just for maintenance. I'm sat at a desk a lot of time of the day and get a good click, and I come out and I feel 2 inches taller. It's amazing. And I think more and more people are investing in themselves that way. So more and more people are looking for chiropractors, because it's not something that we in the UK offer on the NHS.
And I think it's also, there's very, very few programs of that kind in Europe, because I think that when we worked with a student who ended up on this program, I think she said she did her research and there were maybe 5 or 6 programs in the entire kind of European education sphere. So I think none in Germany that's kind of exactly like that. So I think in the Netherlands and some other countries. But so she was very adamant about wanting to do exactly this program, and we were glad that South Wales offered it, and I think she's very happy there. So
we have the chiropractic clinic where the students in their fourth year will actually work with patients. So and from the very first point of the course, they're actually treating each other. They have to be comfortable, I guess, in getting down to a vest top, and they're experiencing each other's bodies, I guess, and feeling the bones. But then in the fourth year, they're actually working in the clinic. They're taking managerial duties. They're taking even, you know, the washing of the gowns. They have to do every single element of it, as well as treating patients. And it could be a staff member at the university, or it could be a member of the general public. And they actually have to treat so many patients and so work so many hours in order to graduate. So they, again, they're getting that hands-on experience, literally, with this course.
Mm-hmm. All right. And besides chiropractic, I think you mentioned the creative industries being one of kind of the stellar subject areas as well.
Yeah. And Cardiff, I mean, a lot of people have this misconception that you have to be in London to break through into the creative industries. And that's certainly not the kind of the fact, really, because Cardiff is known as a creative industries hub. We have the Pinewood Studios, we have the BBC Wales Studios, and our students have worked on the filming of Doctor Who. They've worked on the Netflix series Sex Education. And so they really are getting out there and getting in the mix and getting that hands-on experience. So two of our other flagship programs that we actually have that are of interest to our European market would be MA Film. Mm-hmm. And we have several different pathways. So we have directing, we have documentary, screenwriting, editing, cinematography, and production management. So you can kind of tailor your master's degree into the area that you want to specialize in. And know that you're going to be in the heart of a creative industries, and your tutors are going to have those links with the industry to introduce you to as well. So it is all about getting as much experience as possible.
Hmm.
As a faculty, we have the option of there's an on-site cinema, and students will experience guest lectures as well. So we get industry experts coming in and giving our students those really valuable talks, the do's, the don'ts, the advice of what they should be doing now to kind of benefit once they've graduated. And masterclasses as well from industry experts. So they really do get a variation of different teaching methods. It's not all about, just being in a classroom and being lectured at. That's not the point of it. And within the MA film program, students have the benefit of a 4-week placement with a Wales-based production company. So they're guaranteed to get that hands-on experience as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, maybe it's actually an advantage for a student who wants to kind of break into the industry to not be in London, because everybody kind of gravitates to London. And I think competition is probably much fiercer there, whereas students might have a more personal relationship with their teachers, with their course leaders. And it might be easier also to get maybe even just a student job with one of the production companies and then kind of get the foot in the door, because it's still a bit of a hidden gem. Would you agree?
I completely agree. And there's so many startups happening as well. And so the fact that students then can offer their services for free to get that valuable experience with these startups as well as the established companies that are already there. You're right, it is a hidden gem. And I think because it is a smaller city, you have got that more kind of intimate relationship with these industries, really.
Hmm. All right. Another program that caught my eye was the master's degree in documentary photography. What can you tell us about that program?
So this one is a little bit different in the fact that it is a 2-year master's course because it's a part-time course. Mm-hmm. Its kind of selling point is that you don't have to leave your career or take a career break to do it, because it is part-time and it is online. So we get a lot of students inquiring and enrolling on this program who actually have a lot of industry experience, but maybe they just don't have that paperwork to back it up. So although students, they might have a bachelor's degree, it might not be in a relevant subject to documentary photography. However, if you can demonstrate that you have so much relevant work experience, then your application would definitely be considered, because as a mature student, we understand that experience speaks words as well. It's got the benefit of you being online, but if you wanted to come and enjoy the facilities that we had at any point, then obviously you're more than welcome to come to the campus and meet your lecturers in person and look at the facilities, enjoy them and use them. But your course is it's all online.
Hmm. And does it require a degree in photography, or is it also for, because you mentioned people with a lot of working experience, so for practitioners, for photographers who might not have the academic qualification yet?
Yeah, and so in the entry requirements on the course page, we do say it's preferable to have a degree in a related subject. However, there is also a note there to say if you have relevant industry experience, but perhaps you don't have a degree within that subject area, or perhaps you have a diploma, then we would definitely consider your application on an individual basis, because we know that people with that relevant experience have so much to offer. It's a very much a hands-on course. It's not all about having that bachelor's degree. If you've got the work experience to back it up, it would definitely be considered.
Okay.
And I was wondering, besides those programs that are geared towards those creative industries, are there any other unique programs that are especially popular with international students? I know you just mentioned the Master of Chiropractic. Are there any other unique programs?
Yeah, we have an aerospace center here at the Pontypridd campus. So we offer aircraft maintenance engineering systems. So if a student wants to become a licensed engineer, then that would be the course for them. But we also do aeronautical engineering. And students quite often not sure, and I wasn't sure for a while, what the difference is between aircraft maintenance and aeronautical. So aircraft maintenance is if you want to become an engineer and fix the aircraft, whereas an aeronautical engineer is the designing of the aircraft and the appliances that you have on that aircraft. So we have an in-flight simulator, because how can you design something if you don't know how it feels to fly it? But our bachelor's degree in aircraft maintenance systems is one of a kind in the fact that after 3 years, a student would then need 5 years work experience to become a licensed engineer. And the reason they can do that is because not only are they getting their bachelor's degree with us, but integrated into the course is their YASA modules, which they need to become a licensed engineer. And that's thrown in for free, which is great. If they are high performing students, they can almost do like a fast track program. And after that 3 years, not only do they get their bachelor's degree, they get their YASA their YASA modules, but instead of 5 years work experience, they actually only need 2 years to become a licensed engineer. So depending on how fast or slow they want to take it, we have a program for them. So that's very popular, very popular.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. And something that just caught my attention, we've been talking a little bit about the duration of those programs. And earlier you mentioned that the MA in documentary photography was 2 years, but only because it was part-time. So yeah, I know that one of the reasons that master programs in the UK are so popular, especially with German students, is that many can be completed, if they're taking full-time, for instance, in 1 year instead of 2 years, which is more common here in Germany. So I'm guessing, is this the case at USW as well, especially in regard to some of the programs we just talked about? Yeah.
Yeah, so the majority of our students would come on a student visa and study a full-time course. Mm-hmm. The joys of the part-time online course is they don't need a study visa because they're not coming to campus. Mm-hmm. But the majority of all of our other courses are full-time and 1 year in duration. So students, especially if they've got a job to go back to, it's such a fast kind of program for them to complete, and actually it goes so quickly. I think they'd be surprised at how quick that year goes, and they think, oh yeah, I'll do my networking maybe next month or maybe the month after, and before they know it, they're graduating and they're wishing that they had done the networking. But yeah, the benefit is it's only 1 year. It's mm-hmm. great.
That's also a great way to save costs then.
It is, yeah. You've got one less year of living costs in a foreign country, but also you've only got 1 year tuition fee as well.
Right.
So Sally, in your opinion, what other benefits are there for German students to complete their master's degree at the University of South Wales, or more generally in the UK, besides the opportunity to maybe finish the master's in 1 year instead of two?
So at South Wales, one of the benefits is the fees, the tuition fees that we choose. You probably heard of this crazy little thing called Brexit that happened.
What's that?
I kind of stopped talking about it for a while. Something else major happened. But this crazy thing called Brexit happened, and apparently nobody voted for it, but it still happened. It's what it's meant is our European students are now international fee payers. You need a visa, whereas before you didn't. So what we've done at the University of South Wales is introduced a scholarship to ensure that our German students and European students actually still pay the same fees as UK students, so £9,000. So for your master's degree, It would be £9,000, and for a bachelor's degree, again, it would be £9,000 per year. So how that works is we would, at the point of offering you an offer letter, we would automatically award you with that scholarship to make sure your international fee is then brought in line with the UK fee. We're aware, obviously, you need to apply for a visa now, which is what you didn't have to do before. But also, you don't have access to the tuition fee loan, which is, again, another result of Brexit. So what we've done as a university is, instead of asking you to pay 50% of your tuition fee like we would for international students from other countries outside of Europe, we ask you to pay £3,000, which will allow us to give you your visa letter to make your visa application. And if you pay the remaining £6,000 before or at the time of enrolment, we'll give you a £300 discount. Or you can set up to pay the remaining £6,000 over 10 monthly instalments. So £600 a month at no extra cost, there's no interest. So what we're trying to do is make it kind of as smooth as possible for you and remove as many barriers as we can that have been put up, not by us, but by the government, to make it as smooth as possible for you, given, you know, that we want to welcome you to our campus and with open arms and make sure you're happy. But yeah, that's what we've done as a university.
What about living costs in Cardiff compared to other places in the UK? I was just thinking, because I'm not completely sure how they relate.
There's a lot of factors, I think, across the world at the moment that everything is getting more expensive. You know, fuel is a big thing for across the world at the moment. But in relation to other countries and in general cost of living, Cardiff is known to be one of the most affordable places to live for a student, and that offers very high standard of living. So, for example, if you were to budget around £700 a month, that would cover your food, your accommodation, your kind of moderate socializing. You wouldn't be eating baked beans on toast every day. You would be having a nice food shop delivered if you're doing online grocery shopping, or you'd be going out with your friends a couple of times a week for a meal in a nice restaurant. So it gives you a comfortable lifestyle, but there are some students, obviously, that do it a lot cheaper and some that have a lot more expensive taste. Compared to somewhere like London, it's around half.
Wow. Okay. That's a huge difference.
It is. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
Great. What about students who are a bit more research focused? Do you offer research based masters and PhD programs as well?
We do. The way we work it is we have a research page on our website, and you can see the areas that we are actively researching, or our students are researching. So the way it works is students would actually have a look at that page first, and they would make their application and submit their proposal of what they want to research. But it's then our graduate research office that will work with our faculties to understand whether or not we have a professor or an academic supervisor that would be in a position to support that research proposed by the student. So the student doesn't have to go out and try and find a research a supervisor. We do that for them.
What are some of the strongest research areas at South Wales?
So renewable energy is a big one for us. We have a lot of resource going into renewable energy here in the research that we do at the university. It's something that everybody's talking about. Everybody needs to think about what they're doing in order to save our planet. So I would say that's probably the biggest one that we have.
Right.
All right. I think we're almost at the end of our podcast episode, but I wanted to come back to something we've asked previous guests before. So as you probably know, Sally, our podcast is called Best Zeit, which roughly translates into time of your life. So our question is, what type of student would have the time of his or her life at USW and in Wales? Yeah,
that's a tough question, but I think any student that's looking to open doors, broaden their mind, any student that's looking to take on new challenges, new experiences, meet new people, and by doing all of these things, you know, you don't know where it's going to lead. You don't know what doors are going to open as a result of the people that you're meeting and the experiences that you're taking and how that's going to affect your thought process. And yeah, it's a great academic university to come to, but the fact that you've got so many outdoor activities right on your doorstep, you know, being outdoors is good for the soul. You know, that breath of fresh air, it just makes you think in a different, clear way. So yeah, any student that is looking to broaden their horizons, meet new people, take on new challenges, they should come to Wales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be a great closing statement, but we're not at the end yet because still have one segment to go. Right now, we'd like to come to our this or that questions, which we like you to answer spontaneously. So okay. Yeah, let's jump right in. So what's the better weekend trip, hiking in Snowdonia National Park or exploring Welsh history at Pembroke Castle?
Oh, hiking for me. Hiking. Definitely hiking. Yeah, it's both are brilliant. Both are amazing. That, you know, Wales has so many castles, but hiking, getting that fresh air in those lungs, expanding them, the views that you see. Yeah, like none other. Definitely hiking.
Okay. Are there any hikes around Pembroke Castle so that you can maybe combine the two?
Pembroke's quite flat in comparison to the rest of Wales. Beautiful coastline you could hike, though. Beautiful coastline. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Next question. We've talked a little bit about sports. Rugby or football?
Rugby. 100% rugby. Yeah. I think I didn't like rugby as much until I came to Wales. And at first I was joking that, you know, I'm supporting England because I'm English. And then I married a Welsh man and I've kind of been converted to the dark side, as it were. But it is just the passion that you see in the Welsh people when they sing the Welsh national anthem. It sends shivers down my spine. Rugby players just get on with it. I think, you know, they have an injury, they get up and they get on with it. Footballers, they whinge and they cry and they try and get a penalty. And it's like, just crack on with the game.
It's very funny because that's what we hear say about football and team handball. Right. Like the amount of fouls that happen in handball, like if they would always kind of make such a big fuss out of everything, they'd never play.
Exactly.
It's very funny. But another thing that I find really interesting is that with rugby and football, I think those are two of very few sports where England and Wales actually compete separately. Because I know in the Olympics you have Team GB and you have all of that and it's the big kind of Union Jack flag everywhere. But with football and rugby, you have your own teams like Scotland does as well. What's the history behind that? Why haven't you kind of joined forces as a Great Britain team? That might actually end you with a world championship at some point if you can, if kind of the English can integrate Gareth Bales into their football team. They might actually win something.
They
better
might
hurry up.
Yeah. He's quite old, isn't he?
But no, I don't know the history behind it, to be honest. It would be interesting to find out why in those sports it's separate.
Yeah, maybe you just have too many good players to just have one team. So I don't know.
And just out of curiosity, what would you have said if we had asked you rugby or cricket? Because you mentioned cricket in the beginning. That's also a big deal, right?
It still would be rugby. Cricket it's a big thing in Wales as well. I mean, you get, like I said, a lot of matches happening at Sophia Gardens and the 2020 matches. But It's all about the rugby in Wales, all about the rugby.
All right, then let's move on to the next one. And obviously, we can't do an episode without the culinary treats of each of our guest countries. So, Welsh cake or Welsh rarebit? And perhaps you could also explain a little bit to our audience what.
Yeah, I think Welsh rarebit. A savory girl. So a Welsh cake is like a round, well, any shape, round, sugary. It's not shortbread. It's more of a stodgy cake. It's not a hard cake, but it has sultanas in it. But you can get them made with chocolate chips, blueberries, anything really. But then a Welsh rarebit is basically cheese on toast. That is what
melted cheese on toast.
Melted cheese on toast.
Yeah. And I think anything with melted cheese is...
You can't go wrong there.
No, can't go wrong.
They're both very, very good. But for me, it's the savory.
All right. Perfect. Alex, what would have been your answer?
Definitely the Welsh rarebit as well. As I said, anything with melted cheese. Count me in.
All right. On to the next question then. A question we have asked other guests from Great Britain on this podcast before. Team William and Kate or Team Harry and Meghan?
William and Kate.
Yeah.
It's got to be William. If you said William or Harry, I'd say Harry, but William and Kate.
Because Harry is the more interesting naughty one, or?
Yeah, he's a cheeky chap, isn't he?
Yeah. Right.
All right. Thank you so much. Now we do come to the end of our episode. Thanks for joining us, Sally. I hope you had as much fun as we did.
It's been great. It's been really great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, yeah, enjoy the rest of your day and take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sally. Bye. Das war jetzt spannend. Wusstest du, dass Cardiff so ein Medienzentrum ist und dass es da so viele Fernsehsender und Filmstudios gibt?
Nein, überhaupt nicht. Ich bin irgendwie davon ausgegangen, dass sich das meiste in London abspielt.
Ja, ich auch. Haben wir also noch was gelernt?
Definitiv. Ich habe insgesamt eine Menge gelernt und finde Cardiff nach Sallys Erzählung als Studienstadt schon ziemlich interessant. Nicht zu groß, nicht zu klein, sehr lebendig und gut angebunden.
Finde ich auch. Ich habe nach der Aufnahme auch mal ein paar der Orte und Ausflugsziele gegoogelt, die Sally genannt hat. Und die Landschaft rund um Cardiff ist schon richtig, richtig toll. Besonders diese Gower Peninsula ist super schön.
War klar, dass du das direkt wieder gegoogelt hast. Aber muss ich mir auf jeden Fall auch mal angucken.
Falls ihr jetzt Lust auf ein Studium in Cardiff bekommen habt, dann schaut am besten direkt mal in unsere Shownotes. Dort findet ihr Links zum Hochschulprofil der University of South Wales und zu einem aktuellen Erfahrungsbericht von Diana, die dort seit letztem Herbst Media Production studiert und sowohl von der Uni als auch von Cardiff selbst sehr begeistert ist.
Wenn ihr euch ausführlicher zu den Studienangeboten der University of South Wales oder auch generell zum Auslandsstudium beraten lassen möchtet, meldet euch gern jederzeit bei uns. Unsere Kontaktdaten findet ihr ebenfalls in den Shownotes. Da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden, sind unsere Beratung und Bewerbungshilfe für euch komplett kostenlos.
In der nächsten Folge unseres Podcasts, die voraussichtlich Ende April veröffentlicht wird, dreht sich dann alles um New York City als Traumziel für ein Auslandssemester, denn wir sprechen mit Esther vom St. Francis College in Brooklyn. Wenn ihr unseren Podcast bisher noch nicht abonniert habt, solltet ihr das unbedingt nachholen, um keine Folge mehr zu verpassen. Aber erst einmal sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, bis bald und habt eine gute Zeit.